This is a production of Cornell University.
Meeting of the Employee Assembly, Wednesday, October 20th. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Okay, moving right along to business of the day. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we spent a lot of time talking about the EA expansion and how we're going to grow the assembly, and I asked Curtis to put together some thoughts on an idea that he had put out, and if you want to share those with us.
Sure. So what I did, and I apologize, I forgot that I had my proposal due. So I just wrote, for my head, just a one-page real just summary with my system. Now I'll just read it. I love working at Cornell University, and I feel it's an honor to be a part of the Employee Assembly. Whether it's interacting with students, or creating a new program with colleagues, or enjoying the simple beauty of Ithaca, all these experiences have helped create a positive memory in my heart about Cornell and the Ithaca community. Being an employee at Cornell University is truly a unique experience and an opportunity that no other employee at any other institution has. Both private university and the land-grant institution of New York State, Cornell employees come from a wide variety of experiences and backgrounds. This richness is highlighted throughout the campus, and today I'm very committed to bringing that richness to the Employee Assembly. The proposal to increase the EU Employee Assembly is truly a noteworthy call, and it will be a great achievement for our term if we are able to achieve it. The current structure of 6 employees, each from the endowed and statutory unit and one from the Geneva Station, has really been achieved, and most employee assemblies is comprised of exempt employees from endowed colleges or units. I totally agree that the system in certain places is not working and changes are needed. However, as the proposal stands, I do not see it addressing the core fundamental needs of the Cornell employees. As I see it, there are 2 issues which were highlighted in the proposal. 1, a need for more exempt staff to be on the EA and a greater presence of staff members from the statutory colleges. The proposed 33-seat employee assembly from each department does not address the lack of presence from the various groups because many departments mentioned on the list are from endowed colleges and units. 2, it is the proposal mentions no way how the EU plans to solicit more support from non-exempt staff. I will not go into details about why these groups need to have a president on the EA, but I'll simply state that at its core, diversity is about inclusion and exclusion. It's about understanding why people choose to include certain people, ideas, methodologies, paradigms, and in this case, employee groups, why systematically, simultaneously, and sometimes unconsciously excluding others. Thus, I do not think that we should simply work towards creating a simply more fair and equitable representative system for our employee grievances, whether we should be committed to neutrality and inclusion. To me, equal and fairness is giving everyone a pair of shoes, but neutrality and inclusion is giving everyone a pair of shoes that fits. Thus, I suggest that we continue with the plan to expand the EA, but we move away from the one-unit representation and work towards creating an EA that is representative of the richness and uniqueness of ideas, talents, and occupations that make up the employees of Cornell.
So I guess the question in my mind, I think that is great. How do we do that? I mean, how do we get... how do we create that structure is the bigger question. I mean, the reason why we were looking at going by these units that are already in place at the university is to say we have representatives from all around campus now, whether that arts and sciences representative is an exempt or non-exempt employee, they're still going to be endowed because arts and sciences is endowed. It could be a minority person. It could be... an admin assistant, it could be a director of a program, but there's one arts and sciences rep. I don't know. I guess I'm having a hard time seeing how we would structure under the model that you're looking, that
well,
you're
looking at. Well, I didn't really propose a model because I agree that there needs to be changes. I agree that we should have more people. But I think what the proposal is saying is not suggesting about how we're going to go through. Like, and I went around my staff and I asked people who've been around. I'm the first hotel student person on the EA in a long time. And so if EA has this unit and no one's interested, how are you going to get a hotel staff member on there? Mm-hmm. And then to assume that I, as a staff, represent all the ideas and issues that go on is really problematic because there's also a hotel in our unit. And their needs are totally different than what my concerns are. And those are even more non-exempt staff in that area. And I just feel that, well, I mean, I guess what my basic suggestion in terms of working towards it, I mean, at first, in which I didn't have time to look into, was maybe we have a whole office that's called Organizational and Development, and maybe using them as a consulting piece and really sitting down and brainstorming how can we create a way that is really not about fairness or this, but about neutrality and inclusion and about making sure that all ideas are being represented.
Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm late. One of the, I guess, comments I have is that the EA represents the employees, but there's never going to be a way that every single employee is individually represented. You could argue every person has a different view and a different mind. And so I think this is an opportunity to remember that the communications piece of the EA is when there are big issues where we want constituent feedback, we're allowed to go straight to the people and say, do you have any feedback on this? And then this group takes as much as they can gather from all the constituents, not just their own mind, and uses that to balance out a good decision.
And so now you mentioned a good, you know, a point like the top-level HR unit is hotel, and that includes the hotel itself and the school. And you said, well, what if you only have one person and they can't represent the other thing? Isn't it better to guarantee that your unit has one seat at the table always? Because, and you have at least that one representation, which is kind of forced by our change, versus the ability to not have one at all. Because you said you're the first person on the EA from hotel in so many years, but our new structure would guarantee that there would be somebody from hotel each year.
I mean, I guess what my comment is not the answer, because I agree that our job is not to represent certain units. I just think that the model doesn't address the core issues which were outlined in the proposal, stating that there was a lot more there wasn't that much statutory institution representation and non-exempt staff. And I just think while, yes, we expand it, it doesn't explain how we're going to get non-exempt staff to be a part of it. So even in the hotel, even if it's me, there's no way that it states how we're going to get the person who works in the staff hotel to want to be a part of this assembly. And then also when you look at the list, it's heavily dominated by endowed colleges and units. So even if you say CALS, which is a very large entity, it's a statutory unit. And so admissions, which is a relatively small presence, has just as much voice in this system compared to the statutory. And the only thing we're going to have with the statutory are the colleges themselves and maybe a few accelerator programs.
Let me adjust that. You're going by the list that on the old proposal from the original list. We are realigning that to be the official human resource top-level units.
But it's still so it's kind
of
I mean,
yeah, I know. Well, that's just the reality of the university. The university is broken up into those chunks, and if there's more endowed than statutory, that's
well,
the makeup of the
in
university.
Well, in terms of employees, but in terms of units. I mean, that, you know what I'm talking about? So I don't think there's a bigger breakdown, and I don't know this, in terms of the employees, in terms of the statutory versus the endowed, but yeah. There's just more physical different departments in the endowed piece.
We understand that, and like if you look at the breakdown of those units that we do have identified, CALS will represent 17% of the entire university. and they just get one representative. Well, you could kind of argue they kind of get two because we're grandfathering in that Geneva gets their own representative. And then every other unit below that drops into the single digits. I mean, CALS by far is the largest unit on campus. And they still get one. I mean, we're moving more towards like an employee senate model where each unit is a state and you get one representative.
And so. Mary wanted us to be really careful about, because we were for a long time toying with the idea of proportionally saying, oh, this group is bigger, so they should have more than one person at the table. And she cautioned us against doing that because we're not...
We're not a representative body.
We're not a representative body.
So, I mean, then why are we even going to this if we're not a representative body?
Because we don't have enough people to do the work that needs to be done.
I know, but it's not... Why would we just say we'll be 33, whoever runs?
Wait, what do you mean by we're not a representative body?
That we... Because if we had, like, six people from CALS, they can sway the vote in CALS' favor more than, say... Engineering only has one person.
Right. Oh.
So we're more like the Senate than the House of Representatives,
mm-hmm.
which is what
right.
you just said.
Right. Okay.
See, the problem mm-hmm. is we've never really been able to fill the seat. So if we just open it up to 33 people, we're not going to fill them, but we're hoping that the chairs in each of these departments will appoint somebody or help us fill these seats. That's part of the reason we went this way.
I mean, that's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of how we organize ourselves, the biggest issue is getting the people to fill
mm-hmm.
the seats.
Right.
And you're also taking the elections where they pretty much have been at large, I mean, because the units are so large, and breaking the elections into 31 smaller elections in the units themselves. And if a unit ends up not having a representative to elect, they can sit vacant, and that makes their unit look bad because they don't have a seat at the assembly table.
Or if it becomes all exempt staff, then how well are we represented?
Well, I don't think maybe the language says that was one of the goals. That is, I mean, you're right. Getting to non-exempt staff this isn't going to fix that in the first phase.
But it's the first step.
It's the first step.
I think, you know, we have to make some steps.
Right.
And the steps are then going to lead to better communication, better buy-in from the departments and from the colleges, and it's going to trickle down. And then I didn't know anything about the EA until Tanya ran, and then I said, I'll run, but I think it's very intimidating.
I'll run too.
It's very intimidating for people. Mm-hmm. But if it's coming down from your college or your unit, then maybe somebody... who's non-exempt may say, oh, well, I'm really interested in representing my constituents. I know these people.
Well, I work with them. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, that's what I'm getting. I think that's why we're like...
we aren't, but we are, kind of. I mean...
We're more like the Senate than the House.
Well, no, I agree, but I think...
We're also advocates.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we can be advocates, but yep. I'm just saying that at least when I read why we need to do this, and I don't know who adopted this. This model does not address, like, if our concern is just simply we need more bodies.
No, that's not the concern.
Then I think that we should just open it up.
Yeah.
But at least when I read this, and when I think about why the EA was created and the way it was, because I think that's also important to think, why did they say six people from the statutory, six people from the endowed? Why did they try to promote?
Because I think it looked good on paper.
I got
to run out to the airport. Having been in this conversation for 2 years now, you know, I appreciate you bringing some passion and verve to this discussion. But I'll tell you what, the EA has been having this discussion for a decade, and it's nowhere. And so all I'm saying is, if not now, when? And I agree with Leslie, let's make some steps. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be the final model? Probably not. But let's get into a more representative body, because right now it isn't. Right now it's us sitting in a basement eating pizza. And so Beth here has to represent the staff on the trustees. Is she in touch with every single employee? No. Does she work hard to get her thumb into different areas and get feedback from different folks? Yes. And that's one person. We can do that. If we're committed to it, if we ask ourselves, why am I here? Why am I sitting here? That's the question. And so I'm up for any tweaks on that. But I think it's going to be a really lost opportunity if we don't move something forward this year.
Well, I'm not saying not moving. I think I'm very committed, but I think that we need to be more intentional. Because I think it's...
Give us a plan, then. You know, give us something.
So what is the main mission of the EA?
Thank you, Mary.
Representing with the regional is the question raised that we are not representative body for the community, for the Cornell community. So
I
what
think
that means? Does that mean that the mission should be kept within the employee assembly or within the committees?
I think initially when we went into this, at least I got involved in this last year when I came onto the assembly, is that right now we're 13 people sitting in a room, and yes, I go back to theater, film, and dance, and, you know, Leslie goes back to her slice of campus life, and David goes back to his slice of AAMP, and we talk in our little group, but we don't really get the word out to as many people as we could. And the idea of going by these unit nodes is that there's an easy way to say, okay, if we need someone from arts and sciences, we go to the administrative dean of arts and sciences, and we can look at that subset of people and ask them to elect a person, and then it's up to that person they elect to figure out a way to get information back from arts and sciences to become a conduit and bring that here.
I just want to throw out an idea that might be something we could focus on on a second pass. And so here's what I was thinking. We go forward with how we're going to go forward with the seat count as is, one person per unit. But let's say maybe the next year or 2 years from then, we do a second pass and say each unit now gets two representatives, one exempt, one non-exempt. And at the same time that we do that and that we're forcing more participation from a non-exempt employee, that we try to fill in some of the gaps of where we've had problems with non-exempt employees sitting on this board. They're hourly. They need to be time away from work. Should they be compensated? Should the EA have a fund sponsored by the president that helps compensate those units for lost time and wages or something like that? Those are very complicated issues that we've also identified in a different realm of why don't we have more non-exempt people at the table? I mean, we hear some people that say, well, you know, I'm a secretary, I get my 42 minutes of punch out for lunch, and, you know, if I'm late 1 minute, my supervisor's like, you know. Well, how is that going to be if that person got elected to the EAA and now has to go out for an hour and a half meeting, and now we need to work through those issues of why departments and or employees are discouraged with some pressure locally to not participate. And I think fixing that is going to help fix the non-exempt role. But there's no reason why we can't go forward with this, and as we all branch out, the plan is that we're all going to break up and get assigned units and go to these units and work with the directors and say, this is how you should conduct your election. We're going to have to do some talking to the unit saying what the employee assembly is. And in that process, we can encourage non-exempt people to run, and hopefully we'll start to build a relationship with directors in these units that they will be supportive of sending in a non-exempt employee. But that, I think, is a hurdle we're going to have to still face because it's not fully resolved. I mean, we've talked about it. We've thrown around different ideas of, you know, but it is a great concern for the non-exempt employees.
We talked briefly with Mary about it last mm-hmm. week, not to resolve anything, but just to raise it again as a concern.
So does that mean that am I supposed to report everything what we discussed here as to my managers or to the co-workers?
To anyone. I mean,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was, I could be wrong. That I may have seen a word saying that it was to stay inside within the employee assembly.
No.
Only if it's confidential, and Ari has something that he wants to.
Yeah, well, I've kind of got my own thinking about this has evolved somewhat as mm-hmm. we've been going through a similar process with outreach with the university assembly, and let me drop my own bombshell on the conversation.
Go ahead.
Drop away.
you know, we've been focused on the only sort of one of the assumptions in this proposal that the best way to improve the employee assembly's outreach is by restructuring the membership. And what we've been finding in the university assembly conversation is there's a whole other element to it that really hasn't come up in any of the other assemblies, which is process. And specifically, with the university assembly, the direction Tommy Bruce has been steering that group has been to focus on issues around notice and comment. So, if we continued with a membership process that was more like what we have now, and I think there are some things we could do to tweak it now. If we switch entirely to an electronic voting system, we could at least have the endowed representatives be elected by endowed population, statutory by statutory. But if the membership didn't change, I guess what I'm getting at is the way that you get diversity of view and get everybody's opinion in is when there's a proposal that the EA is considering, the notice goes to a public place sufficiently far before meeting that there's time for people to submit their comments and or come to the meeting if they have something specific to say about that. So instead of trying to compose a body that has all the diversity that would ever need to resolve an issue, you can have a body that may not have people from every unit, every kind of work situation, but you can still get that expertise by circulating what you're working on and inviting people to participate when they have something to say. And Tommy's been putting this because he comes from a background working in Congress, and Congress, federal agencies, the way that they get things done, hopefully right a lot of the time, is they hold hearings. And before they have a hearing, they have to publish a notice at least 30 days in advance or whatever. And that produces a huge amount of participation and information. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to improve the way that we get notice out about what assemblies are working on. In the context of the UA right now, we're talking about looping the university assembly into the university's policymaking process in a way where it could be there's like a stakeholder phase where it would make sense to incorporate assembly's feedback. Maybe we could talk about going down that road with employee assembly and not immediately having to restructure the membership. Also, another thing that's evolved is this is the first year since I've been here. I think this is probably the first year in a decade that the employee assembly was completely full at the beginning of the year, which, you know, maybe part of the reason we've had difficulty getting elections is maybe the employee assembly has already solved some of these communications issues, and that's why we have a fully staffed employee assembly this year. So I'm not saying that I think that this membership idea is the wrong way to go, but I think that there are a lot of other options that I certainly hadn't thought of before. And maybe we could have an easier time moving forward on some of those.
Can I comment on
that? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's comparing like the UA to the Congress is a completely different animal. And I see what you're talking about. But yes, obviously the federal government has much greater things at stake. And I'm concerned that, you know, we do things like public open forums on issues and nobody shows up. So how would that really solve the problem for the EA or the UA or anything?
What forums are you thinking of?
Nothing specific, but I mean we do things where very few people come out, and we also know that it's hard getting out the word to people. Part of this framework was also going to be a communication thing that we say we can now cover every unit because you're in student life. You know, your job now is to go back and take that nugget of information and disseminate it through your local listservs and your local communication, bring back any feedback and funnel it to this table. Whereas right now, we all can still do that right now, but we're missing chunks of the university. So I think that representation model is, and basically we're also putting it out there that it's up to the unit to help us with that. If you don't get somebody at the table, we can't do the two-way communication with you. You're going to be missing out.
Is that necessarily true, though? Because we can mass email everyone.
Yeah, but we didn't used to be able to. And
we can't
keep doing it all, but, you know, we can't go from quarterly to weekly or, you know, I don't know, maybe we could, but it's...
I think Jason's right, though, like, communicating with the staff in that way is totally different than communicating with congressmen. Congressmen never shut up. That's their job, you know? So I think, you know, we communicate with staff. I mean, staff can, we urge them to communicate to the EA News, through, we invite them to attend the open forums in our meetings, you know, I think we could do both.
You could do both, but
I think people, I think the way this model is going to work is that it's going to empower people. It's going to empower the director or chair of the unit, and it's going to empower the person who's representing the people. Because then I'll feel like I can go to the chair of the department of the college and say, here's what we're talking about in EA, and here's what we'd like to see happen down through the unit. I mean, I don't feel empowered to do that now. I don't feel like I'm empowered to do that at the hotel school.
Right.
I have a question. So if the idea is, maybe I'm clarifying me if I'm wrong, that if a college in particular does not have an EA member on it, we're going to go to the faculty, because the college is run by a faculty dean, and the dean's going to appoint a staff member to represent? I mean, I just already feel that's a conflict of interest.
There's an administrative dean for the colleges.
Yeah, which is the faculty too.
Not in every case.
Well, I mean, I know in a hotel school, it's two faculty.
I don't think that language is actually fully defined yet. And that was actually one of my questions of on that point for filling vacancies, or, you know, if college, if a unit does not hold an election, or they hold an election, that is a question to be answered of whose responsibility is it to fill a seat. I mean, obviously, I think the EA's internal operations is going to want to make sure that every seat is filled, and if it's not filled, talk to the unit to find out, why is this not filled? Is it that you don't want to run an election? Could you, you know, I mean, and we have to frame that language in the charter, which isn't set yet in stone, is to basically say, if there is a vacancy, what will happen? Election or appointment, and then who does that? You know, if we give the power back to the unit to say, you have a seat, you elect or appoint. If you choose not to, the EA will elect or appoint from staff in your unit. And that's kind of the language I'm kind of playing around with right now, is we give the power for the election to the unit, and if for some weird reason they choose to not exercise that power, we can then appoint someone from that unit directly.
So
does that make sense? I mean, but that's all subject to change. I mean, that's all once we get some final language on the table to start talking about.
So in the interest of the fact that we could spend hours, days talking about all of this, but eventually we have to get to a point of we have to take a step and we have to move forward in some way. So can we take, and Ari, you tell me if I can't or not, can we take a vote on if we should move forward with continuing in the direction that we've been going in, knowing that we will need to possibly tweak some things along the way, that this isn't a perfect model, but it's a start of moving forward to getting a more representative, larger group who can communicate better.
So is this the formal resolution?
Well, yeah, it would be a motion to continue. Now, no, first of all, do we have a quorum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Barely.
Huh?
Yeah. Did we already approve this?
Yeah. Well, this... Okay, process of this goes back... Let's rewind just for a quick recap for people. Back when the charter was being reviewed and restructured and cleaned up and revised, everything in the charter was revised except for Section 3.5, which is the membership. That was because it was such a daunting issue, it was explicitly excluded. So everything else in the charter got revised and changed and cleaned up. And the idea was that that 3.5 section was going to continue in the next year after the first round of changes occurred in an ad hoc committee fashion to then revise that last section of the charter. And that's where we are today. The committee met last year, produced that two-page document. We revised that document, well, not officially revised it, but we revised the unit counts to, where did these unit counts come from? We said, let's align directly with human resource units, and now we're still having discussion of moving forward. So I think we can have a motion if we continue down this path, but if we don't, then this goes back to committee or something, and we're not on our time frame for doing this by the spring election.
What if we tried to get two representatives from each unit this year, like one endowed, one or one exempt, one non-exempt?
Well, I think Jason's point about why it's challenging is accurate, that the policies, the HR policies around non-exempt staff are either
gray
or not practiced consistently. And so
it would be easier to go for exempt first.
I don't think it matters. We're
it
not,
doesn't
we're
matter.
Not
it's not one or the other.
Just one.
Just one representative. Whether two people from a unit, one step, one sign from whoever gets elected.
Right.
But it is something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I think we should maybe
and
work on
be.
Making an official university policy that has teeth that allows a non-exempt member to really fully participate in EA and not feel that they're pressured to otherwise because of their job or the department or their manager.
Well, and I think once we start having discussions about things like that that have really impact on staff, then people will start paying attention to what we're doing. While we're deliberating about this stuff, people don't care.
Right.
If this isn't important to folks. So even if we post our agenda on the web and we let people know what we're talking about, it doesn't have an impact on their daily work life. But if we're talking about policy changes that could, then we become relevant. And then we begin to have more influence like Ari was talking about.
When do we start contacting the units about this?
Well,
we
have to get a resume.
We have to get past this point first.
The group
right.
has put together a timeline, and actually we need to get together a formal resolution on the way that we want to proceed, which has to be voted on and then be approved by the president before we can start contacting the units.
I'm just thinking we
and
could,
we also
we
wanted
want
to
bring this on them like
well no,
no
the plan was this, that we want to get this approved through the president, and once it's approved from the president will help us send out a communication to deans, directors, department heads announcing this new expansion of the EA, putting his blessing on the involvement of employees in this new EA, adding his language of like how EAs in his past job were wonderfully successful, and he wants the same thing at Cornell, and that he kicks off our expansion efforts. And then what will happen immediately after that occurs is we're going to all tentacle out to all the units and make sure that we handhold them through the process of their first election.
And the idea was that the timeline that we kind of set was that the president would put out this email in mid-January, and then we would start to canvass the units and
mm-hmm.
be able to do that between February and April when we begin our election process. So that gives 2 months to...
Mm-hmm. So that means I have to rerun?
No.
No.
Those
yeah.
who are sitting in the middle of a term would remain in their term, mm-hmm. and you would be...
Part
the
of my unit, or
well, yes, that's what we're gonna work that out. Let's kind of table that question, but yes, we're gonna try to work that out and say if you're in the middle of your term, you are already the representative for hotel. So hotel will not have an election in 2011.
So can I call a vote?
Someone has to have a motion.
Can somebody make one? I'll move that we continue in the direction that we've been going with expanding the EA by unit, with one representative from each unit.
So this is the motion.
Plus Geneva.
The motion is that we continue to work on the
that we continue in the direction of
continue with the committee work.
Continue with the committee of work with the unit representation model.
Assuming that language will need to be changed.
Yeah.
Second.
But do you feel better about diversity knowing that within a year or two we could expand further to include exempt
and non-exempt? Because I'm going to support this. Oh, I'm not going to support it. I'm going to vote no. But the reason why is because I feel like, I hear it. I think there's a frustration because it's been a topic that's so long. And I really hear that, and I really, really value that. But also, I think there's kind of a shut off to like really let's think what's outside the boxes. And I mean, I think that we are in a really unique opportunity to create something that hasn't been created. And I think what's the cool thing about Cornell is an institution like that. So to say that we're going to do it just like Iowa State or everything, we're totally different than these institutions. We really are. And let's create a EEA assembly, whether we only need 15 members or 30 members, or say we need to be a 100-member assembly, but really creative and reflective of what the needs of the employees are. And I think that just simply saying we're going to push along because we've been talking about this so long and I'm sick of it doesn't do justice to that.
Okay, so I know I don't have a voice.
You have a voice. You just don't have a voice.
I think where you're trying to get is not where the employee assembly is, and that the employee assembly needs more visibility, more credibility with supervisors, more of groundwork before it can get to that point. And I think that the advantage of the new structure is that even though you may still end up with mostly exempt the first time around, you're going to be more in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be, oh, well, there's nobody in my unit. I don't have to worry about them. They don't really represent employees. They just represent themselves, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I think having more representation will help get it to the point where the supervisors are going to be shamed into. Because they all work in competition with each other. And when I was in HR, what we would do, because you could never get anything done across things, we'd do a pilot with one group, because while nobody will agree, nobody wants to be left out. So if you do a pilot with a few that really like it, then other people want to do the same thing. So you can use that peer pressure in a subtle way to get where you want. The only thing that I see, I don't see anything that you're saying or that Ari's saying that conflicts. It seems to me that you could meet both purposes at the same time. The only thing that I think is that, I mean, what happens if you do get 35 people sitting around the table? It gets the bigger the group, the harder it is to get to consensus.
Well, we didn't talk about that too. Is we're also talking maybe of structuring the meetings a little bit different, where we may have a more powerful executive committee, and the general meeting is not anything like our general meetings that we have today.
So then it might be more like RE and the hearing, where
right.
Somewhat.
And then they right. those other folks may say, "Hey, I'd really like you know."
And we're also hoping that with more people, we have actually fully staffed committees. Those committees are actually doing work, and that you know each meeting we have an actual comprehensive committee report from what committees report for that month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the structure and makeup of how we do business is going to change too. But that's not doesn't necessarily have to be in our charter. That's whatever we make it. But that's kind of like the idea. Thinking is that yeah. We're not going to have a conversation like this with 30-some people around the table. And or Robert's Rules of Order will become even more important.
Yeah. So I think there's no way that this is like the first step of getting to where you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
But where you want to get is so many steps.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the
okay.
mind.
So, guys, we actually have a motion on the floor.
And you second.
And I've seconded it. So can we call this to vote? All in favor? Opposed?
Did you count?
Yes. Seven.
Seven to one.
Yes. One. No. No abstentions.
right. Thank you guys for a great discussion. And Jason is chair of this committee. We'll need some help and, you know, some ideas. So if people are interested in participating on that as well, should let Jason know.
Yeah. I don't know.
The ad hoc membership. The headache committee.
The charter committee. And, you know, I worked on some language, and maybe I'll just start sending it around with email. And I was working on a document where I could do, this is the before, this is the after, and do it section by section and see where we can go from there. So I'll send that out
can
soon.
Can you just do it with the way that the resolutions have been coming from?
I'm not even focused on the resolution part. The resolution
Listen, let me finish my sentence, please. When in those resolutions that involve charter changes, they've used track changes. And so you don't have to have two documents.
Yeah.
It's just the track changes are within the original.
Yeah, I thought about doing that too, but I may.
And that way we can see them.
I may do both, actually.
Okay.
Okay. So moving on, internal operations chair, Catherine has decided to resign from her seat as internal operations chair. So we have the vacancy on the executive committee. If anyone is interested in filling that seat. Let me know.
Who's the captain? Why can't I remember her?
Because you haven't been here in a while.
She was
Pat!
You're on the record.
Wasn't she elected at the beginning of the
term? Yes, and she's decided that with work commitments and other things that it wasn't the best fit for her.
She'll still be an EA member.
She'll still be an EA member, but...
Okay.
Right. So if anybody is interested in that position, let me know. And I guess we won't talk about better or more.
Who's not here? Who can we appoint?
Gary.
we could appoint Gary, Linda, Trish.
We should skip them.
Okay. Moving on to the meeting with Mary Opperman. She's coming to our next EA meeting. Does anyone have any topics that they want to talk with her about? What I thought would be really useful to talk with her about is the rollout of, and I hate to say BAME, but the rollout of the BAME stuff and where that's going and getting more information on that. And I don't know how other people feel about that or if there are other, I mean, that seems like that's a big thing affecting a large constituency of the university.
Definitely.
That we don't have a lot of information about at the moment.
Yeah, I would like clustering and service centers are being created in groups, and it's like we're all flying blind right now, and we're all, you know, where did the navigation for this come from? And I mean, we know it came from up above somewhere, but where are we all going right now?
So do you think that that's a good topic for to discuss with us?
So when you say the BAME direction, it's the Spans and Layers project?
The Spans and Layers.
The IT
facilities.
The two big reorgs.
Communications.
And communications.
Right, so those big reorgs that are more central.
Yeah, if you could share anything about that.
I mean, that's something that's a big topic.
Or the UA could share with her how it's being perceived, and that might be helpful too.
Beth, you probably know more about this than I do, but she just set up, or I just noticed on the calendar that there's a series of forums starting on the 26th that deal with the Spans and Layers thing.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
Okay.
But they're trying to be transparent. She's trying to be out there.
Yeah,
I know
she is. Apparently our office, the Chronicle office, you know, we're the people who know the news. Well, we're apparently coming out with something, but we just found out about it too. So, but just to give you a heads up, there will be something out later this week, and the first of the forums is, I believe, 26th.
Are those public forums? Or?
I believe so. They're on the events. I stumbled across it looking for advertising on these events, probably one of Tanya's.
October 26th?
Yeah.
That's next Tuesday.
So many
So, do you want me to just send to you the whatever I know.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I'm just curious what the project is about.
Well, yeah, first, what?
Do you know where they have them?
It says on the thing, I haven't really even had a chance to focus on it. I stumbled across it this morning by phone.
I'm not
sure. Well, we will as soon as we get the thing in motion.
Peggy used to share that stuff with us, but she hadn't come to our meetings.
She just came out with the communication. Well, I got the communication from her. I wasn't able to really focus on this to bring it here, but I wanted you to at least know that this is here, and if I can get any information, then maybe...
The communication plan for the forum?
Yeah. Because I was just told her.
Peggy? Yeah, in our last meeting.
Yeah.
So my guess is that it was a matter of scheduling and getting people's calendars and getting a place.
Would you like me to read the event?
Sure.
Yeah, there you are.
October 26th from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. in G10 Biotech. Administrative Streamlining Program Forum, Human Resources Spans and Layers. VP Mary Opperman will present an update on proposed actions in the Human Resources and Spans and Layers area of the Administrative Streamlining Program. The HR initiative primarily focuses on implementing the new HR payroll management system, the creation on an onboarding center to manage the new hire experience, and consolidation of central shared services. The Spans and Layers initiative analyzed the administrative overhead structure. Savings have centered on the concept of reducing spans and layers. A span is the number of people a manager supervises. A layer is the number of layers between the president and a division's lowest-ranking employee.
Do we want to have her just address this at our meeting?
Well, I think that was the idea, that the spans and layers and kind of the meat works that are happening.
Or if you go to the meeting, you may have.
I'm going to email this to all of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
That's our
executive. Yeah, that sounds like that's specifically the HR meeting.
I can have a question for her. I don't know if it's good for your individual meeting with her or when she's here. But I'm just kind of curious about, like, the university has these policies, but the colleges or the individual units aren't really required to go by them. Like, for example, the wellness policy.
Not a policy.
It's not a policy.
It's a guideline. Not a policy.
Get on there. What you got?
I did. It should be a policy.
But that...
It's not approved. Yeah, it's a suggestion that people get release or flex time to participate in wellness activities. So it is a guideline, mm-hmm. and it's up to the discretion of the supervisor. But they should all be following all the policies.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
And if anything is not followed, that would be an issue for this committee.
Mm-hmm. United Way event brainstorming. So we heard from Paul and Bill last week, and I don't know if anybody has any thoughts or has had any thoughts since we've met with them about things that we may or may not want to do with them. I mean,
I'm mixed on the United Way, because I know it's a good place to give, but I don't, every time I forced it on people, mm-hmm. I felt weird, and people don't want to be, they don't want it forced on them. They want to come up to with this decision to give on their own. But if they don't know about it, then they won't give. So I always have mixed feelings about how it's presented to us as employees.
It just occurred to me is that haven't we all got an individual piece of mail
mm-hmm.
from the United Way? I mean, how much more communication can you get than that, a direct piece of mail mm-hmm. direct to every single employee?
Unless we had like a contest, everyone who gives $5 to the United Way can be entered to win. But they have that already. Actually, they do that.
They do.
I think the United Way gives out.
It's not just Cornell. It's everybody in the county
okay.
there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty large. Chances okay. of winning.
But we could do that locally.
Are we having our president's address this year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. November 12th.
Can we incorporate it with that and, like, give the United Way pitch of his address?
I don't know if he'll... For him to pitch or for us to pitch?
Whatever. Just, we're going to have a bunch of people there. It's just a thought. If you want to, you know.
The
the note that you get, the letter that you get, some people throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be an opportunity to give out extra envelopes for people. Mm-hmm. The one you get has your name on it, and Cornell gets the credit. And all that.
We had pledge cards at the celebration on Saturday for people to pick up. Did many people pick them up? You were paying more attention.
I don't think very many were picked up.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this whole notion of, you know, they're just looking to increase participation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the idea of a dollar a paycheck or a, you know, one-time donation or something like that for staff to do. And, you know, they're hopeful that we can help them in some way.
Like holding an event.
Holding an event.
Extra above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking last meeting about what we used to do for the emergency grant fund, held the auction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would the EA be willing to do something like that for them
mm-hmm.
as an EA run event?
I think it would be great to have, I'm just brainstorming,
mm-hmm.
like a dollar for dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Where you come to your EA and you get something that's valued at a dollar, but we're asking you to give a dollar to the UA.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're right. If you get someone to give who has never given before, the next year the chances that they'll give more go up. So you'll get your thing. You gave a dollar last year. Let me give two this year. And that really does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So are people open to the idea of doing something with the United Way? I mean, if we came back with some sort of concrete something, people would be interested in doing that?
Well, Mary said the timeline, the United Way campaign or Cornell has an end date.
Mm-hmm. Right, but this project doesn't.
But this
project. This is an ongoing
right.
attempt to get more staff involved, more Cornell employees involved.
Right, because any event that comes up out of this group, where the ones are going to do it.
You just mentioned it.
Right.
We don't have our 33 other people
want.
Yet.
Yeah,
I think we should revisit that because we have quite a few staff attended the president's address, so why not do something fun and advertise it in advance? Like,
mm-hmm.
you get an app. I mean, we give away apples, so give a dollar. I donation box or something.
What if we had something to give away, and in order to be in it, you have to get a United Way envelope that has a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
We hand them out as people come into the auditorium, hang on to this envelope. We'll have a spiel on stage saying, why did we give you this envelope?
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the United Way. Please try to give and whatever. And hang on to your envelope until the end because we're going to have a prize. And then you can...
So could it be something with... Well, that'd be kind of.
And we just number the envelopes.
Like a raffle kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm just curious to think people will bring money with them to make a donation then?
Well,
or
they don't have
be
to. If the envelope lets them send their money off or whatever, or suppose we could collect money that right there on the cash on the scene too.
I mean, it may be interesting to have someone from the United Way there to collect, but, you know, maybe it's, you know, you fill out your pledge card or whatever and you're entered into the drawing or something like that too. All right, so we want to do something for the employee, the president's address staff. But what that is yet, we don't have perfected.
It's just a very easy thing that we could
yeah.
do. It's not the end all, but...
No, I think that it's great, and I think it's something that's before the campaign deadline. And
mm-hmm.
Well, if you could come and pay a dollar or whatever, even $5 for
mm-hmm.
what last year was a free lunch and a raffle ticket for, like, a spa treatment or something, I think people would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch and a raffle ticket, and all that money goes United Way. I mean, obviously
mm-hmm.
we did lunch for free last year, so all the money we collect would go with them, and they'll get a free lunch and whatever prizes we come up with.
Maybe we could do like lunch with President Gordon.
I'd rather
yeah.
go to the spa for a couple of hours.
Yeah, but if we can get some free things, like if we can get a free lunch with President Gordon, if we can get a couple other things, we can say to people, donate your, you know, well, we could advertise, donate your. You know, for every dollar you donate, you get a raffle ticket, and then we have these prizes that you can win.
That's good. Yeah. But you're still going to want to capture their information so that Cornell can contact them next year.
I am cautious about collecting money.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather collect pledge cards. And then the pledge card could be what gets drawn mm-hmm. in the raffle. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we want to tell people that they're going to be charged. In order to hear the president, they have to pay $5 to the United Way. I think our audience would diminish.
No, but I think if we say, you know, you can buy, you know, basically you're buying a chance to win a prize.
Right.
And your money's going to the United Way.
But it should not be connected to lunch.
To the lunch, right.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, but just connected to a raffle ticket.
Just have it as being
present. Yeah.
If we could round up a few prizes, that would seem to be easy enough. We already got 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so we'll keep working to try and perfect that idea.
Do we want to perhaps find somebody around this table who'd be interested in finding some prizes?
I will donate a prize from the Schwartz Center.
Okay. For tickets to a Schwartz Center event.
Sure. Does anyone want to spearhead finding prizes? No.
Like look for donations from places? Like.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're talking about lunch with President Scorton, it's sending an email to his staff asking if that's possible. I don't think we're talking about going to.
Can we just brainstorm for a minute about what prizes could be besides like tickets to a show, lunch?
Well, I think So here's what we probably could do, and since he's not here, we can assign it to him. Gary, who works here in his government community relations, maybe we can ask him to see if we can get a lunch with Tommy, or you guys can ask him. A lunch with Tommy.
Yeah.
Who wants that? No offense. Nobody even knows who he is. I mean, we do, but most of your staff members are going to be who?
Right, but I'm not saying just him, but if we have multiple prizes.
I don't think you need that many prizes. You got 300 people. When Arts and Sciences has 1,000 people at their picnic, they have this ridiculous list of prizes. You only need 5 prizes.
Okay.
You only need one prize.
Really.
You don't need...
So let's take...
I think lunch with the president. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay. Tickets to the Ford Center.
Okay.
And the mums.
And the mum.
And whatever else comes
all
up between there.
So let's wrap this up. I have... no report other than the fact that we did the employee celebration, so I want to thank Leslie and Temba and Linda for joining me there and for Leslie for organizing the whole thing.
Where's the rest of the candy?
To my house.
Look, we worked, we ate candy. That's it.
And we also have to thank the 3 members of the basketball coaching
team. Yes, the basketball coaching team who carried... the large boxes of water bottles for us that we went to Bartels with when we should have gone to Bartels.
That would be my fault.
So they carried the boxes for us.
Tickets to a basketball game or something, or a hockey game. That's a great prize.
I'm
sure we could get.
So, but in general, the employee celebration, I don't think it was successful for our purposes. So it may not be the best use of our time. We didn't really get anybody to talk to us about any EA stuff. They came in like, ooh, water bottle, and like,
candy.
And then
that was the kids.
Mm-hmm. So, very quickly, can we look at the minutes and approve them?
Presidential award. What we mean on page 4, item D.
President award.
But it's
not the
it's
president's
not
award.
Even that.
Yeah,
it's the award that's given at the president.
Yeah, it's the
address.
The employee assembly award to staff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look for the official wording.
That would be great. Yeah.
Any other changes other than the on the title page? It shouldn't be agenda. It should be meeting minutes.
There is one under EA extension.
Oh, should be soon after this sun. Page 2.
Yep.
Second column from the bottom.
Got it.
Any other?
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Linda's not here to talk about the sustainability committee, so we'll get that from her next time. Under old business, one thing we want to throw out there is when Leslie and Beth and I met with Mary last week, we talked about the idea that we had of giving the staff award to either Cornell Police or to the crisis management team, and weren't really sure which one. And she made a great suggestion of honoring both of them along with environmental health and safety and having a first responder, an award to first responders. So we would essentially do three plaques honoring those three groups who have done a heck of a lot this past year.
I'm actually being specific or being recorded.
No. That's all right. Sorry. So does anybody have any objection to us doing that? Great. That's the only bit of old business I had. Anybody else have old business?
I'm just looking into some promotional. We talked about getting some EA promotional type items and thinking about different things. So I'm looking into those, and I'll just send them out to people. I don't have a lot of time. I'll send an email out, see if people have thoughts or ideas on it.
I still have a big box of these pens I got to get you.
Okay.
They're rather interesting projectiles.
Do they write? Yeah.
They do, but they fall apart real quickly.
I was also curious, whatever happens to the resolution we sent to the president about the bridges?
I will follow up. I don't think I heard back. I think, well, maybe I did hear back. I'll have to look.
And is the communications committee in charge of communicating the president's address, or is that the staff? Is that the awards and recognition committee?
Promoting the marketing event?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking about the fact that we have to start doing that part, and I think we just did it last year, but we would love to have help.
Okay. I just wanted to make
sure. Yeah. I'll harass you afterwards.
Okay.
Any new business? Any open forum? We have 4 minutes.
I just want to say that today it's like a sustainability day, and there's the event going on at 4 o'clock. If you want to step out and get some information.
Okay,
sustainability. Does anyone want to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Adjourn. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.